Hi.
I was born in 1969, just 10 days after the first moon landing. My brother was born a year and a half after me. My parents eventually divorced and married new spouses while I was 6 years old. A few years later, my dad and stepmom both moved to Eastern Oregon and eventually to South Carolina. My brother and I would see my dad or possibly get a phone call once or twice a year. This is when I started putting my dad on a pedestal. It was hard for him to fall off because he wasn't around to show his faults. While growing up, my brother and I lived with my mom and my stepfather. My stepfather was very controlling, even to my mom. We were not allowed to go to friends' houses or have them come to our house. We were not allowed to do any extracurricular activities like sports or clubs unless it took place during school hours. As we were growing up, my brother was favored by my stepfather. I was constantly being asked, why can't you be more like your brother? Or are you retarded or something? He chose to be more of a drill sergeant to me more than anything. Very little of a father figure. When I was eight, my stepfather's son lived with us for about 6 months, during which he introduced me to my stepfather's porn collection and then repeatedly molested me during that time where they lived with us. Since he had introduced me to my stepfather's porn collection, I was constantly sneaking into my parents' room to view or steal the magazines from his nightstand. During my childhood, I would find pornography in different businesses. My parents' attorney had magazines in the front lobby. I found that adult magazines sitting in the back of toilets and businesses. So every time I went to a business, I would scout around for pornography. During my years at middle school, I would trade pornographic magazines with my friends while we were in the school library. By this time, I was using pornography to numb emotional pain, whether it was rejection from a girl at school or from the mental and emotional abuse from my stepfather. Occasionally, my mom would find a stash of pornography, but because of being caught the first time, I got better and better at hiding it by keeping it in different locations. If I was not fantasizing about the women in the magazines, I was fantasizing about classmates or teachers. Looking at women in a sexual way increased, especially when I was not around the porn. While growing up, we were rarely at church during the early years, except when I was with my dad and my stepmom. While growing up, my stepfather quickly and repeatedly pointed out that I was wrong at everything that I did and that my brother was right. We were not allowed to speak or be seen when guests were over. And we're told that we were not allowed to think until we were at least 35 years old. I was constantly asked if I was retarded and began to truly wonder if I was. Due to the verbal and emotional abuse, I started to learn how to be a chameleon. Whenever I was sent to my room, I would silently beat on my pillow, wishing it was my stepfather's head. Just before starting high school, we moved to Lake Oswego. We were not rich by any means, and I did not have much in common with my classmates. I learned to take little tiny commonalities that I had with people and use that to build acquaintances. I withdrew more and more into my pornographic addiction, and after rejection from girls in high school and more verbal abuse from my stepfather, I took consolation in my pornography. It was my drug of choice. I was never rejected by the women in the pictures. My mom and my stepfather divorced while I was in basic training for the National Guard. I found out just before coming home that we would be moving to Eugene to live with my aunt, and I would be finishing my senior year in Eugene. My dad and my stepmom moved back to the Portland area around the same time period. Because of my stepfather being out of the picture, my grades increased. I had my National Guard drills, I joined the cross-country team, worked with the student council, the decoration committee, the Mormon Seminary classes, Junior Achievement, Speakers Bureau, Young Life, track, and I was also in a school play. I was so busy. I was getting home late, but I was feeling better about myself as a person. I had a large dry spell from the pornography during that time. After graduating from high school, I finished more training with the National Guard and eventually signed up for full-time Army. Due to the high ratio of the women on the base, the mentality there was that if you can't have sex within 2 weeks, there must be something wrong with you. Due to my stepfather's programming and becoming more and more of a chameleon, I did not want to be seen as abnormal to my peers. I immediately started dating women from my platoon. One day, I had called my dad and my stepmom, and I was told that I was under investigation here in Portland. After 9 months of being in the Army, I was finally arrested, discharged, and flown back here to Oregon to face sentencing. I spent a total of 3.5 years locked up. While I was locked up, my stepfather died, and for years after that, I carried the anger of having been denied the ability of killing him myself. For survival in the system, I had to rely on my chameleon skills, and I associated myself with the Aryan Brotherhood. This tore me up inside. I am so anti-racist, but that at that time, fear and survival trumped any of my personal beliefs, including my walk with God. After prison, I went through 3 years of counseling and eventually got plugged into a large college-age group in a college-age church group in the Clackamas area. I found a lot of new friends, some of which I'm still in contact with today. It was just before meeting my ex-wife that I started to dabble into porn on the internet, chat rooms, and the concept of cyber sex. During the first few years of marriage, I was experiencing a dry spell of pornography. I started back up, and in my fourth year of marriage, my ex-wife found found porn on our computer. We separated for 2 weeks until we found out that she had a tubal pregnancy. God intervened, and my ex-wife and I reconciled for another 4 years of marriage. Eventually, after many repetitive arguments and her questioning me about a movie I had recently purchased, we separated and eventually divorced. After the divorce was finalized, I went into a midlife crisis mode. I joined eight dating websites, surfed porn on the internet, visited porn shops, strip clubs, and nightclubs. After moving several times after my divorce, one of my roommates talked me into going to a singles group here at Rolling Hills, and to try out Celebrate Recovery. I did go for a little while until I had car issues and stopped coming to CR. I did continue coming to church, attending the singles group here, which eventually led me into the leadership team with the singles group. And I got plugged into a small group Bible study, which I eventually co-led and also included with serving with the homeless. I felt that God was telling me to stop straddling the fence regarding my addiction to pornography and lust. I felt like he was giving me an ultimatum. Either I do something about it, or he would. I did not like the sound of that, but sometimes I needed that spiritual frying pan upside the head for a wake-up call. After being at Rolling Hills for a few years, I became a member of Rolling Hills and had my third baptism. The first one was with the Mormon Church, which I have disregarded. The second baptism, which I felt I did to make my family happy and to look good to church friends. During this time, my spiritual anchor became Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. To me, it's the Gandalf scripture. You shall not pass! Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for the Lord's people. As my schedule changed, Celebrate Recovery was still buzzing around in the back of my mind. In God's infinite wisdom and timing, I did not notice my current girlfriend, who had been going to the same singles group for a few months until she and I had resolved some things in our own personal lives. Kind of like to call it spiritual blinders. As she and I started courting, she asked me to go to Celebrate Recovery, and we started going. She came with me for the first few weeks, but this time, something was different. I had gone to a few Sexaholics Anonymous and Sex Addicts Anonymous group meetings before, but I had issues with my problem being the definition of who I was. My problem defines who I am. Celebrate Recovery is different. I soon realized my identification was based on my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sorry. And not some unnamed higher power. And both the eight principles and the 12 steps are biblically based. I was thirsting to start up a step study as soon as possible. I started a step study on a Sunday night, and after several weeks, our group dwindled down to about eight of us. We stuck with it, supported each other, and completed the step study in a blazing 6 months. I'm glad we did it so quickly, because after the inventory, confessing, and admitting, I was so emotionally raw. We continued on to victory, forgiveness, and grace, which I found so emotionally and spiritually soothing. I felt like God was putting a salve over an open wound, and healing was starting to begin. Each week we met, I worked on pulling out hurts and things that I was ashamed of. Thankfully, this was a gradual process, especially since I had issues trusting people. The Lord was with us, and I knew that I was in a safe place. I was not going to be judged for what I shared with them for my weekly homework. I felt like this was the first time that I started experiencing godly male bonding. One thing that stood out from my step study homework was the lies that the enemy had me believing about my addiction to pornography. My guilt prevented me from praying, reading the word, and I retreated from God. I was not aware of the math behind my sin. I could finally face the wasted money, the wasted time, the reduced health due to all-night binges, poor performance at work, repeated tardiness or calling in sick, and pulling away from obligations to God like serving in ministries. God does have a sense of humor, and it does show sometimes. I asked God about serving again. More importantly, I wanted to know if I was going to be on familiar ground or new territory. His response was one word: both. Gee, thanks for clarifying that one. Due to my schedule, I was not attending Celebrate Recovery during my step study. After completing the study, I debated about whether or not I should continue to go to CR. This debate was ended quickly when I came on a Wednesday evening and I was immediately shown why I needed to be here. Every lesson being taught and every testimony presented on the stage was hammering home, both in my head and my heart, each of the steps. Every time God would give me a little nugget, something that I could walk away with that touched me personally each time. Small group would show me how true brotherly love works. Each week, I would get to know my brothers in my group a little bit better. And I found that doing prayer cards each week was reinforcing that I am here for my healing. But as my love for my brothers grew, my hopes and support for their healing grew as well. I love to hear about the milestones being reached in recovery, or somebody has one of those aha moments in the recovery. I've had a few myself. The Lord gave me two word pictures about removing a major sin that has been a plague in my life for so many years. This is in reference to Matthew 7:3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? The first word picture was, when removing the plank from one's own eye, there can be splinters that, if left untouched, will remain under the skin and get infected. The second word picture to that same verse is, when putting out a major fire, there are many hot spots around, and if they are left untreated, they can reignite and grow back into the original size of the fire, or even bigger. As I continue to work on my recovery, my relationship with my Lord, I try to focus on step 10. We continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it, followed with the verse from 1 Corinthians 10:12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. I have found some of my trigger points, and I'm learning of ones that I had not noticed before. I look forward to the continued support of my Celebrate Recovery family, and eventually working another step study and daily strengthening my relationship with my Lord and Savior. I recently heard a definition of a godly relationship is a servant serving servant. I feel that Celebrate Recovery truly strives to embody those kind of relationships, to foster healing and maintaining a safe environment for everyone. Thank you for allowing me to share.